to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight is our second lesson in this new Bible study series called Proverbs, Practical Wisdom for Everyday Life. We started last week. We'll review that in just a moment. But just as a form of review and to kind of get into the topic, let me ask this. How would you define wisdom in your own words? Because this is all about wisdom, practical wisdom, wisdom for everyday life. How would you define wisdom? What is wisdom? Tony.
Worthwhile knowledge.
Yeah, there's plenty of knowledge that may not be all that worthwhile, right? I mean, it may be to somebody. Okay, consistent application of knowledge, knowing how to apply knowledge. That's one of the things we did talk about last week, and we talked about the difference and the similarities between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is information. Knowledge is facts. Knowledge is just stuff. But wisdom is knowing how to use it, knowing how to apply it, take advantage of it, okay? And that kind of is important. I don't know if you've ever known somebody that knew a whole lot, but their life was a mess because they didn't know how to apply it, okay? Or it wasn't very useful, okay? Can you think of a time when you made a wise choice that made a really big difference in your life, something that you could share briefly? Anybody think of a particular thing that you had a choice to make? You made a wise, what you believe to be a wise choice, and it had a tremendous impact. To come to America? Okay. Okay. A particularly long, dangerous trip that you chose not to make. Yeah. And God protected you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else think of a time that you made a wise choice that made a big difference in your life? Now, all of us that are married, we're like, yeah, marrying my spouse, you know, that's a given, right? Well, you guys are just kind of, you all asleep tonight? It's okay. I've had days like that too. All right, well, let's just go on forward, okay? Tonight, what I've titled the lesson tonight is the value of wisdom, the value of wisdom. Last week, we talked about the foundation of wisdom, and we were looking at Proverbs 1, the very beginning of Proverbs 1. And in last week's lesson, and by the way, if you weren't here, it is online. You can go back and listen to it. And we talked about how do you define wisdom. And in the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1, there are a bunch of words that Solomon uses as kind of synonyms for wisdom or facets of wisdom. He talks about wisdom and instruction and understanding and prudence and knowledge and discretion and learning and guidance, and all these things are kind of other words to be used to either describe or fill out this idea of wisdom. And so we talked about the significance of each one of those. We talked about the purpose of wisdom. We talked about the different ways of responding to wisdom. And this is key because that's what Proverbs is all about, is that you are one of three types of people. And you want to be, or you should want to be, one particular type of people, all right? He talked about the simple, and they're mentioned throughout Proverbs. And usually that's talking about somebody that's not stupid. They just don't know any better. They're naive. They're ignorant in the sense of, I just don't know about that yet. And the idea is, don't just stay that way. In the significant areas of life, the most important things you've got to deal with, learn what you need to learn and put it into practice, which is what wisdom is. So don't stay simple. And we talked about how each of us are that way in certain areas. You know, there are certain areas we may be an expert in, and other areas we don't know much about at all. And we may not need to, and that's fine. But in the significant areas of life that we do have to deal with, we don't want to stay simple. And then you have the foolish or the fools, and these are the people that reject God and reject God's instruction and reject God's wisdom. We don't want to be a fool. And then you have the wise. The wise are those who recognize God, because the last thing we talked about last week was that the fear of the Lord, knowing God, having that proper awe, respect for God, is the beginning or foundation of wisdom. And so we want to be that wise person, the one who recognizes God for who he is. and his authority and our relationship with him. And we want to do what he says is the wisest thing to do. So that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to talk about the value of wisdom, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 2, the whole chapter. So if you want to turn to Proverbs 2. So last week was a generic foundation Bible study. This week is similar to that. Next week, we're going to start with the actual specific topics. Unless God changes this for some reason, next week I want to talk about the topic of the power of our words. What does Proverbs tell us about our words and how significant that is, okay? So today we're going to talk about the value of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 2. So, how valuable is wisdom? That's an easy question. I think most would say it's very valuable. Why is wisdom valuable? Okay, to make the best decisions, the best choices we can make for the best results. All right? Yeah, that probably pretty much summarizes it really well. Irene? To help us know right from wrong. You know, especially if that is our desire, that is our passion. We have a relationship with God. We want to do what is right and to avoid, stay away from, reject what is wrong. Wisdom will help us do that. Yeah. Lynn? Okay. To help us understand why things happen, how they happen, and also to help us find solutions to our problems. I like that part. You know, that's one of the things I think is really great about technology. There's a lot of things about technology. It's like, you know, but now if you want to know how to do something, you can just go in there and type it in, and all of a sudden you've got 15 videos and 3 explanations step by step, and all. It's so wonderful. The only thing is you got to make sure you got something from somebody that knows what they're talking about. Yeah, Lori. Okay, to protect us. That's right, to avoid harm, to avoid not just bad choices, which can bring harm or bring something negative, but to protect us physically in many other ways. All right, very, very good. Well, wisdom is so valuable, it is so beneficial that the first 4 verses of chapter 2, Solomon tries to emphasize that by using a number of different expressions to talk about that we need to go after it. Okay, so let's just read the first 4 verses of Proverbs chapter 2. He says, my son, and again, we mentioned last week that Solomon is writing this in particular for his son who's going to follow him as king, but also that was a literary device of someone who wanted to pass wisdom on to other people. They would take kind of the role of a father to their son to give them wisdom. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. Okay, we're going to stop right there. He says, if you do all these things, then. Now we're going to get to the then, because the then is where he's going to talk about at least some of the benefits of wisdom. But look at the way he describes how we interact with wisdom. Okay? Verses 1 and 2, he starts out, if you receive my words. Okay? If you receive my words. In verse 2, he says, making your ear attentive, inclining your heart to. Okay? When you think about that, when you talk about think about receiving something, what kind of ideas does that communicate? If you are going to receive something, okay, and we're talking about wisdom, how does that apply to wisdom? Receiving wisdom, paying attention, yes, okay. What? You're listening carefully. All right. In other words, you're not just kind of floating through life, picking it up as you go along. I mean, there's certain things that we can do that too, but it's important to us that we're going to pay attention. We're going to listen. Yeah, Lori. Very good point. Opening your heart, opening your mind, not letting pride or even anything else getting in the way. Because when you receive something, it means there's a willingness. You know, and the way Solomon puts it is it's not just a willingness, but an eagerness. You know, there are some things that you can receive, but it's like, I'll take it, but I really don't want it, you know. And maybe there's certain things that we feel that way about wisdom because we don't want to change. But the idea here is having a willingness. You think about Christmas time when you receive gifts. Usually it's with a willingness. It's with an eagerness. And this is the kind of idea that Solomon's getting across here, is that we need to have this openness and this acceptance and not reject. Okay. And that made me think of the fact that, you know, most of us as human beings, we would love to be able to pick and choose, right? Which part we take. And to a degree, we probably all do, you know, and we also kind of pick and choose which part we're more open to than others. You know, sometimes if there's a certain area, certain topics, like, I really don't want to hear that. And so Solomon is encouraging us not only to be open to receive and to be eager to receive, but to be able to do it across the whole spectrum of what God wants to share with us, as far as wisdom is concerned. All right. He says, make your ear attentive. That's paying attention. Again, that made me think of a common term of no selective hearing, you know, where, you know, you know what it's like. You're reading your Bible. You got your favorite passages because it tells you what you want to hear or what you most need. And there's other passages like, I could have skipped that one because I didn't really want to hear that today, you know, or a preacher or a teacher or a sermon or a study. But make your ear attentive. And he says, inclining your heart. You know, getting the heart involved gives a whole nother different perspective. I think that means that it's not just a mental thing. There's an emotional and commitment aspect to it, okay? That we're open to receive, we're diligently looking, we're listening, we're paying attention, and we have this willingness, okay? This commitment to want to apply what God has to offer to us. And so right off the very bat here in the first couple of verses, that's probably a challenge to us. Lord, help me to be open. Lord, help me to be listening. Help me to be paying attention. Okay. A second aspect here is that it is something that we are to seek. Okay. If we look at verses 3 and 4, he uses the word seek in verse 4, but in verse 3, he uses this picture. He says, yes, if you call out for insight, and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, okay? You know, you think about calling out or raising your voice. It sounds kind of odd to use that for wisdom, but it's meant to be a picture, all right? What are the type of things that we call out and raise our voices for? What?
Help.
Help. Yes, we need help, all right? Things that are important. There's energy. It's not like we just say, you know, we're just having a conversation. We're crying out. You know, you think of it in the terms of like prayer, when we're crying out to God in prayer. When you think of crying out to God in prayer, it's not just like just some little simple thing, which is certainly appropriate in prayer. But this is meaningful. This is significant. This is important. So he's saying that's the way wisdom is. It should be as important to us that we would cry out for it. We would call out. We'd raise our voice. And then, of course, he does use the word for seek. That one is one I think we all pretty much understand. Seek. In the same verse 4, he says search. All right? Yeah. To seek or search for something means that I'm not real sure where it is, you know, or I'm not even maybe sure where I can find it, but I'm going to put the effort in. Yeah, Lori. Yeah, it's a good question, good comment. You know, how do we know when we need wisdom? Well, obviously, if we're in need, if we've got a problem, we've got an unanswered question, we've got a situation we don't know what to do. But I think that's part of why Solomon is saying this. He's trying to stir in all the listeners, not just to some, but in everybody. Listen, wisdom is so significant. Whether you realize it or not, you need to get it in your heart. You need to get it in your mind. This is something you need to seek. You know, if you think about it, again, this picture here, he says, seek for it like silver, search for it like hidden treasures. You know, hidden treasures. I don't know what it is, but there's a treasure. I'm going to find it. You know, if we could picture that wisdom that way, it's like, well, I know there's certain areas of my life where I need wisdom. I definitely want to seek that. But maybe there's some wisdom out there I don't even aware of, but I need it and I want to find it. Lynn, you look like you got a deep thought. Yes, it helps us find a way where there seems to be no way. And that's a very important point that we'll probably get into in a future lesson too, is the fact that the Bible often contrasts and compares God's wisdom with man's wisdom, okay? And, you know, Proverbs says over and over again, and it's going to come up even in tonight's study, that God is the source of wisdom. okay, of true wisdom. And we need to look to him, and he's the one who gives wisdom. But also, God has put a lot of wisdom out there in the world, okay? And there's a lot of people that can be very wise without even knowing God, but it's because without knowing God or whatever, they're living by or operating with God's wisdom, you know, because God's just put it out there in the world. But there are times when man comes up with what he would call wisdom that contradicts what God says is wisdom. And that's where we got to make the real clear distinction. Okay, well, we're going with God's wisdom because he's the one that really knows what's going on. If there's wisdom, quote, wisdom out there that contradicts God's wisdom that somebody's come up with, they don't know the full picture or they're fooling themselves or whatever, because God is the ultimate source of wisdom and of what's best and what's right. Yeah, Bert. Yes, we're going to do the whole chapter of 12. Once we get past this introductory thing here, which we're almost there, then we're going to find that there are five categories of benefits of wisdom, and that's one of them, is to help us to avoid evil. And we're going to get to that. Okay? All right, so good. All right, so he says we need to seek it. We need to search for it. And then the other concept here is that we should treasure it. Now, he compares it to a hidden treasure. But, you know, he says it's like silver. It's like gold. In other places in Proverbs that we're not going to read tonight, Solomon says, God's wisdom is better than silver. It's better than gold. It's better than jewels. It's better than all the other things that people value. We should treasure it. And when you treasure something, it means it's something that you store up. It's something you value. All right. And if you're talking about the searching part, you search for treasure. All right. But once you have it, then you hold on to it. It's important. You may lock it up. Okay. To use the physical picture. You know, you have something that's valuable, you lock it up, you protect it. When we talk about wisdom, you want to protect it. You don't want to lose it. You want to take advantage of it. All right. So according to these verses, what does it take to find wisdom? You've got to have patience. You've got to have ongoing searching, diligence. And that point is so important because I think sometimes we just get into the habit of just kind of going through life and taking it as it comes and deal with things as they get here. But God says, listen, be prepared. Seek after my wisdom. It's going to greatly benefit you. Now, he doesn't deal with it in here, and we don't want to take too much time because we want to jump into the rest of it. Where can we find wisdom? If God's the source of it, where can we find it? In the Bible. The Bible is the primary source of God's wisdom. Now, he can speak to us in other ways. He can speak to us by his Spirit. He can speak to us with a still small voice. He can speak to us through our conscience if it's not been seared or hardened. But as we are so fond of saying, we think God is speaking to us in a way other than his word, he will not contradict his word. Okay? All right. But James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So verses 5 through 22 now, we find some benefits of wisdom. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list of benefits because there's so many benefits of wisdom, and the whole book of Proverbs is full of benefits of wisdom. But here are kind of five different categories of benefits of wisdom, and I want to give you all five of these very specifically in case you are taking notes. So if you get nothing else, you'll at least get these five things, okay? The first one, the first benefit of wisdom, the most important, is knowledge of God and his protection. Knowledge of God and his protection. That's the first benefit of wisdom we see here listed. So we go to verse 5. All right. Now, you may have noticed in the first four verses, it says, if you do this, if you do this, if it says, if you seek, if you look, if you're open, if you will pay attention, if you will listen, then. In other words, then you're going to get wisdom, and this is what you get. Okay, verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. Okay? So the first benefit, at least category we have here of a benefit that we get from wisdom, is knowledge of God and his protection. Basically, it says here, when you seek wisdom, you find God. Why is that?
He
Because he is wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. You know? And the thing about this is it's not just knowing about God, but actually knowing God. All right? It's not just talking about learning facts about God and knowing these truths about God, as important as that is, but to really know him personally and to know what he stands for. And it says that if we seek wisdom, we find God because God is the source of wisdom. And if we seek God, we'll find wisdom because they go together. And as we do that and we have that relationship with him, and kind of assumed here, okay, is that you got this relationship. He's God. You're going to follow him. You're going to do what he says. All right. And it says that when you do that, you have the benefit of his protection. He says here, verse 7, he will be a shield to those who walk in integrity. And integrity is one of those aspects of wisdom. In fact, we're going to take 1 week to talk about the importance of honesty and integrity, is explained as in Proverbs. And God becomes a shield to that person. Verse 8, guarding the paths of justice, those who seek justice, and watching over the way of his saints. So God is looking out for and protecting his people. So obviously there are ways that God protects us in supernatural ways. There's God ways that God protects us by using other people in our lives. But this is talking specifically about wisdom. How does God's wisdom protect us? Some of this is just kind of review, kind of rehashing a couple things we've already said about. How does God's wisdom protect us? Lori? Guides us onto the right path. I think of Carlton's example. You know, when he was younger, wanting to take this trip with some other people, it was a dangerous thing, and wisdom said don't go, and he didn't, and he avoided some real major problems because of that. So that wisdom protected him. All right? Yeah. So God's wisdom protects us from folly or foolishness. Again, a major theme throughout Proverbs. You got wisdom and you got folly. You got foolishness. All right? And so by following God's plans, God's principles, his wisdom, we are protected. He mentions something for the first time here, but we're going to see it throughout the rest of the chapter, this idea of a path. He says, guarding the paths of justice. Now, when we talk about a path in the natural, we're talking about, okay, I can see where I'm supposed to walk. All right? But when we talk about it in the Bible, when it's used as a picture, what does that path represent? A lifestyle, okay? A way that you're going to go. All right. And there can be good paths, just like in real life, or bad paths. All right. Maybe you've gone on a hike sometime and you found a good trail. Maybe you found one that wasn't so good. You know, the best way to get somewhere. We see that in dry. Yeah. Psalm 1 is great illustration of it. But we see that in everyday life when we're going to go somewhere. We want the best route, right? I'm so glad that on GPSs, if you got a really good one, you know, whichever one you use, that it'll not only tell you how you can go, but which is the best route to go right now based on traffic and all that kind of stuff. All right? Which around here, usually it's anything other than I-75. But most of the time. Yeah. So anyway, so we're going to see this idea of the path coming up several more times in this chapter. But it says God guards his people on their paths. Now, this is just like any other promise in Scripture. This is not trying to say if you can do it perfectly, you will never have any problems or come across any difficulties because we live in a sinful, fallen world. But yet God does promise his help and his protection as we follow his wisdom. You know, we may face difficulty going through this life, but if we don't use wisdom, we're going to face a whole lot more. Okay? And when we get into difficulty, if we don't use God's wisdom, it's going to be a whole lot more difficult to get out of it, whereas God's wisdom can help us to do that. Okay? All right, so the first benefit is knowledge of God and his protection. The second one is discernment for everyday life. Now, before we read the passage, we talked about this a little bit last week. What does discernment mean? Or give an example. We wanted to.
Discernment is...
Yeah. Discernment means being able to choose between options. Something is right or it's not right. Something is true, it's not true. Something's good, it's not good. Okay? So wisdom, and again, like I said, a lot of these things are all kind of overlapping. These things are all through the Bible. Okay? The idea of the path is not just through this chapter, but it's through all through the Bible. Like you said, one of our favorite promises in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, you know, your understanding and all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. You know, so discernment for everyday life. Okay. I don't know about you, but I can use all the wisdom I can get for everyday life. All right. Look at verses 9 through 11. He says, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. He says, see, you can choose the good path rather than the bad path. Okay, the right path rather than the wrong path. Okay, verse 10. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. Okay? So, he'll point us to a good path. He'll help us discern what's right, what's just, and what's fair, which is important. We want for ourselves what's right, just, and fair. We should want it for everything, for everybody. Okay? And so wisdom can help us to do that. He says, and as we do that, we will find it to be pleasant to your soul. I don't know. I like that. That it's pleasant to your soul. In other words, it's not just a drudgery. Sometimes people think, oh, if I'm going to serve God, do what he wants me to do it his way, I don't really want to do it. It's going to be a drudgery. It's going to spoil my fun. No. God's wisdom leads to pleasantness. It leads to joy. Okay? Pleasant to your soul, and it will watch over or guard your path. That's part of what God uses to guard it. Now, in verse 10, it says, wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. I think this is an important point, too. It's not just something that has to do with our minds. Okay? It's not just that we not only want to know the right facts, but we want the wisdom to use them right, but it's something that influences who we are. Okay? Our very being, it affects every single area of life. So we got discernment for everyday life. The third one is protection from evil men. Protection from evil men. You know, we got an enemy out there, and he doesn't have to, but a lot of times he works through people. Okay? Verses 12 to 15. It says, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Okay. Those are a lot of descriptive phrases, but what kind of people is he describing here? Computer hackers. Okay, I meant more in general than specific examples, but yeah, we could make a long list, right? Scam artists, con artists, computer hackers. You know, we're talking about people. It's like, I don't care about anybody or anything else except for myself. I definitely don't care about God and his ways. I'm going to do my own thing. Now, do you think these verses are only talking about the most evil of people? No, anybody who tries to live life without God and ignoring God and his wisdom and everything are pursuing the wrong path. Okay? Somebody put it this way. These verses describe their purpose. They want to walk in ways of darkness. They want to follow an evil way. Their pleasure, they rejoice in doing evil. They delight in the perverseness of evil. They love to do wrong. And their path is crooked. It's devious. In other words, they're not on a good path. Okay? So if these people are this, why are they a danger to the God? In what way can people who are ungodly be a danger to the godly? What? They don't have any wisdom. If we're tempted or misled into trusting in them, then we can be led astray, right? And as I said a minute ago, the enemy's always coming against us. He doesn't have to use other people, but a lot of time he does. You know, the enemy uses other people, and sometimes they don't look evil. But he can use them to draw us away. Norris. If you're not perceptive, they can deceive you and lead. And that word perceptive, that, you know, Solomon didn't use that word right here, but that would fit right here, wouldn't it? That wisdom gives us perception. Okay? Discretion is the word he does use. All right? So he says that if you seek God's wisdom, it'll help you to avoid being drawn away, pulled away by evil men. Okay? The fourth benefit, and ladies, do not get up in arms till we discuss this. We had protection from evil men, but also protection from immoral women. Okay? Protection from immoral women. Let me read this and we'll jump into why, you know, men are characterized. Of course, I mean, men are characterized as evil, the women are characterized as immoral. But anyway, let's look at this. Verses 16 to 19. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So he talked about these evil men. Now he's talking about immoral women. These evil women, they bring moral ruin primarily through sexual temptation. All right. He talks about smooth words. All right. This topic is dealt with extensively in Proverbs, especially in chapters 1-9. And that's going to be one of the topic too. What's the Proverbs has to say about our sexuality and our relationships sexually and things like that. But, these immoral women are mentioned 65 verses in Proverbs. Okay. Now, when it talked about the men and it mentioned them being evil, it talked about lots of different things. But when it's talking about the women, it mentions specifically, or at least gives this picture of the sexually immoral thing. Why do you think that might be? What? Because what? Because he experienced them. Okay, yeah, well, yeah, Solomon did definitely experience them. Yeah. I think because in their culture, probably the primary way a woman would have any kind of influence with a man would have to do with sexuality. Because women did not have, for the most part, there were some, positions of power or authority. They were not looked to as authorities and that kind of stuff. But, you know, you've heard this, like, the feminine wiles and all that kind of stuff. You know, but also we see that I think that Solomon is not just talking about the capacity somebody has, male or female, to draw somebody into sexual immorality, but it's a picture of one of those things that's so serious that it represents folly. In fact, you know, we mentioned that in another place in Proverbs, it contrasts wisdom and foolishness, or wisdom and folly, as women. You know, it talks about the woman of wisdom who prepares her house and invites people into a feast, which is a means partaking of wisdom, where you have the wisdom of the woman of folly, who invites them to come and say, stolen bread is great, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that Solomon is got two things going on here. Number one, that a great way to characterize a lack of wisdom is a woman of immorality. But also, that is a great trap. And it's not just a trap for men today, although it's probably more of a trap for men than it is for women. I mean, look at a lot of the problems that there are in the world today, throughout history, with leader, with anybody. A lot of times it can be drawn back. In fact, people say it's either sex or money, sex or money, sex or money. You know, when you look at people who fall from a position of respect, whether it's inside the church or outside the church, a lot of times it has to do with sex or money. You know? Yes, Lori. Well, if you look at this, our egos and our flesh are very powerful. And our ego is part of the flesh, but I'm just talking about our egos as far as emotionally, mentally, whatever, psychologically, and our flesh as far as our physical desires are very, very powerful. So, but wisdom can help us to avoid those things. And I tell you what, I think there's a lot more people that needs to use a lot more wisdom about these areas of our lives, because there's so many more opportunities to become ensnared in these areas of our life. Now, before we go on to the fifth and last one for our last 5 minutes, just make a note here, even though he's talking about that wisdom will protect us from evil men, evil women, evil people, that it's not just the people. It can be talking about any influence in our lives. And I want to mention that because sometimes we may not be affected by other people because we spend most of our time with Christians, brothers and sisters or whatever, or we're very careful around other people, but we may not be as careful about the other things that we allow into our lives that influence us. You know, one of the things we're going to talk about in one of these things is how our acquaintances, our friends, the people we hang out with, the people we, whatever, how they influence us. Okay. But it's not just the people. It's other influences. What you read, what you listen to, what you watch, where you go on the internet, you know, any input into your life, wisdom can help you to avoid the evil that will come if we just take in whatever's there, you know. Tim, did you have your hand up? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. What we hear. Anything that comes in through the eyes or the ears or, you know, any kind of senses. Yeah. That's right. All right, well, we got a couple minutes left. Let's do with the fifth one, the fifth benefit that we see categorized here. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. There's all kinds of other benefits. But the fifth one is enablement for righteous living. Enablement for righteous living. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to live righteously, but we're talking about people who look to God as the authority of life. They respect him. They have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of the Lord. He gives wisdom. We've got a relationship with him. Then we want to live right. Wisdom is going to help us, and not just help us to know what it is, but enable us to do it. And we see that in this next section, verse 20 through the end of the chapter, 20 to 22. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. There's that path again. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those who with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So wisdom will enable us to live right. We can walk in the way, walk in the paths, that lifestyle that leads to right living and God's blessings. Now, I was going to discuss this a little bit, but we're almost out of time, so let me just tell you. He puts this in the terms of inhabiting the land and remaining in it, whereas the wicked will be cut off from it and rooted out of it. It goes back to the whole idea in the Old Testament that your value and what you have and what you have to pass on to others is all tied up in the land. Okay? That plus the idea that God told his people, I'm going to take you to your own land, the promised land. It's going to be a place of blessing, all right? And when they were serving him, it was, all right? And so that's the idea, that if you follow God, follow his wisdom, he's going to bring you into that place of blessing. And again, we don't want to get the wrong idea. This doesn't mean if we do it perfectly, no more problems, all the money we want, all that. No, we still got to live this life. Of course, when we get to eternity, because this isn't just here and now, this is eternity, okay? Following God's wisdom brings us to that place of blessing to some degree, to a great degree now, but also for all eternity, all right? But it's he ends it here, those who do not follow God's wisdom do not have a relationship with him and will be cut off from him and his blessings. So I want to read one more passage before we wrap this up. If you just jump down, if you're following in chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, I came across this in my devotions this last week, and I thought this just fits with our topic tonight too. And you know what? There's lots of places in Proverbs that do, but this just really fits with the blessings and the benefits of wisdom. Look at Proverbs 3, 13 to 18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called blessed. So serving and following God and his wisdom will bring blessing to our lives. Not perfection, but blessing, and it's not just for here and now, but it's for all eternity, okay? So we need to seek to learn and to grow in wisdom, but not just for the information, because if we got the information, but we don't do anything with it, it's just knowledge. We need to apply it. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for a great study in your word. And Lord, you make wisdom available to us, and you've promised it to us if we'll ask for it and if we'll seek it. Lord, sometimes we don't have it because we don't look for it. We just want it to come easy. So Lord, help us to have that heart to seek, but Lord, to seek it not just because we're desperate for an answer or for a solution, but because we want to please you and we want to walk closely to you. And I thank you, Lord, for all the benefits and all the value that there is in following your wisdom. And Lord, sometimes we do know your wisdom. We know what the right thing is to do, the best way to go about it and all that kind of stuff, but we don't want to because our flesh is fighting, because of some other reason, we're afraid of opposition from other people, whatever it might be. Help us just determine we're going to follow you and your wisdom no matter what it costs. And I thank you that we will reap a great reward, and not just here, but in eternity, and not just in eternity, but here. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.